This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, Zach. Looking at the situation, killing the elected president is overthrowing the election of the people. And Hillary has said she wants to overturn the election. And even Lord Rothschild, the head of one of the biggest power structures out there, has said it's basically time to take out North Korea. So this is definitely a different strategy now. There's different factions. What factions do you think are out there? Where do you think this is going? Kim Jong-un now threatening to detonate a hydrogen bomb above ground.
Yes. You know, during that UN address, there's some very eerie images, and you've showed them on your show, of Tillerson and Haley sitting and watching as they speak, because, you know, Trump wrote that speech and Trump delivered that speech, and that was a message to the rest of the world. That's why you see Kim Jong-un unprecedentedly responding. So what I'm thinking is going to happen here is there will be a response. The North Korean dictatorship is out of control, or who knows who they're really being backed or ran by. I believe, and this is more than an assumption, that there will be an attempt. Doesn't mean it will be successful, but there will be an attempt on an attack on the U.S. mainland, because notice the strategic and kind of eerie talks that Kim Jong-un said, fire like we've never seen. Of course, with our anti-missile defenses, we could do anything. But obviously, in the past, 15 years of war, we're vulnerable to suicide attacks. So for some reason, we think Korea, we don't think the status quo, what goes in the Middle East, which is IEDs, dirty bombs, and things of this sort. So, this is going down, and it's very important because continuity of government is important. What we have is a president who is literally organizing a revolution. I hope he could get the people around him, because I hope Mattis is sticking with him, because the things that Patinic was saying and some other guys who I know were saying about sticking up for kind of McMaster and these guys and these kind of comments of you didn't serve, so you just shouldn't talk, is very dangerous. It's very dangerous because it doesn't matter who served. The president is the top of that chain of command. Mattis outranks McMaster. And that's what we have to go with.
The idea is Trump wasn't in the military, so he doesn't count. Oh, he went on the campaign trail. He lost hundreds of millions of dollars. He stuck his family out there. Trump has served this country hardcore, and it's very elitist to then say he isn't as big a man as somebody that was in the military when all he's done is try to take care of the military. It's embarrassing.
And my answer to that is George Washington. Don't give me the crap about, you served for 30 years, so you have this, this moral high ground. Before there was any military, there was a man who started it and a man who started the revolution. So, and Patinic is kind of removed. And again, I'm not attacking him.
That's right. The elitist British military would never even take Washington. That's one reason he wanted to prove them wrong. He was just a colonial scout and was in way more combat than the Redcoats. They were afraid to go where he even went. And then later he kicked their ass 5-1. So there you go.
So we do know technologically that North Korea, with their backing of certain elements, is more sophisticated than surely Afghanistan and probably Libya. And this whole strategic patience problem has fallen apart. And if you want to see how strategic patience works, if you're Kim Jong-un.
But that's a good point. The guy that founded the U.S. Army and the U.S. military was never in an official military.
Exactly. So that statement, and maybe he was stressed by the storm. I'm down in Florida, too. It was pretty stressful. But some of the things he was saying were pretty, I don't know, maybe it's not just him. Maybe he was hinting at some things or he was in a vulnerable spot. But this is the kind of thing. And if you look at the UN, the speech and the address that Donald Trump delivered, it's just so incredible and so important, because I think he could have gone one or two ways. He says, I'm going to deliver this. I'm going to write it and I'm going to do it. Of course, he has his guys in there. But look, this is it.
He showed he's not selling out. He showed he's doubling down.
He showed it's not selling out, but, I don't want to tie in the hurricanes and the earthquakes and everything with it, but there's a lot of kinetic movement going on the planet right now. People are getting antsy, and there's obviously a change in philosophy within the United States that has been running probably since at least probably after Kennedy. Reagan tried to stop some things, but obviously look what happened to him, and then he doled out and was he just seemed dumbed down and kind of poisoned toward the end of his term. And, you know, you alluded to, and you were really heartfelt, and I could tell how much, you know, passion you were leaking some things initially during that talk on that transmission with Steve Pachinik about Trump being poisoned. And I don't know if he's being poisoned, but intellectually, he's most definitely is being poisoned and influenced. That's how that sounds.
They're pulling all his friends away. They're isolating him, and they know Trump operates off his family and his friends and people he really trusts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You deserve a deep, restful sleep with Knockout by InfoWars Life. Our organic formula is made from high-quality natural ingredients such as valerian root extract, L-tryptophan, lemon balm leaf extract, and melatonin. Knockout packs a powerful punch to get you through the night and achieve proper sleep. Millions of people around the world experience daytime drowsiness, but with the rapid speed of life, we need to be able to keep up the pace. Our natural mixture harnesses the power of 10 known ingredients to let your body relax and get the sleep you need. Wake up refreshed and take on the day. InfoWars Life wants to bring you a sleep support formula that goes above and beyond other leading brands at an affordable price. Get the sleep you deserve and experience the power of Knockout. Head on over to InfoWarsLife.com and say goodbye to fatigue. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
How many times must I tell you, baby? How many bridges I've got to cross?
It's Friday, we're taking your phone calls.
How many times?
Got a bunch of video clips coming up that are really important. Tucker Carlson smacks down Rob Reiner, or Meathead, as Hollywood's war with Russia expands, and as he produced a video with the most prolific actor in history. That's right. It's official. He's in more TV shows, more movies than anybody else. Morgan Freeman, who said a lot of good stuff over the years, but we now know he was basically paid by different special interest groups to say it for PR. The guy is just quite a capitalist, but I guess a sociopathic one. And I'd heard that about Morgan Freeman from folks. That's why he undercuts other actors. You know, he's a smart guy. That's why he gets more roles than anybody. He does takes, they say, better than even people like Clint Eastwood, who they say is like next to Morgan Freeman, the guy that doesn't mess up his lines. Well, there you go. Now he's really discredited himself with Rob Reiner, the big producer, saying that Trump got elected because of the Russians and that we're, quote, at war with Russia. So that clip's coming up. We covered it a few days ago, but now Rob Reiner has responded. And Chelsea Handler, maybe we trade Trump for Kim Jong-un. It's a Breitbart story. It's up on Infowars.com. Comedian and talk show host Chelsea Handler praised North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's warning letter to President Trump. So the headline is, Hollywood sides with Kim Jong-un against America. I know we posted this. We posted it with a proper headline. I'll just change it for Breitbart. Do him a favor. Because traitorous Hollywood trash or evil. Hollywood black hole. She's not a star. I don't know what you call it. Hollywood sides with North Korean bloodthirsty dictator over Trump. I mean, it's just there's no end. And it's not just her. There's so many of the folks who don't get the peril we're in or the Clintons gave him the weapons or the guy is a nightmare demon. But they're so out of touch. They hate this country so much that's given them everything that she sides with some cartoon level nut who's a bloodthirsty jerk. They say if his girlfriends are rude to him or don't act just perfect, he has them killed. And he admits to it. And his family members and everybody else. I mean, he's a little bloodthirsty, do-nothing punk who never did anything in his life. McDonald's managers have done 1,000 times what this guy's done. Single mothers 1,000,000,000 times. Some guy that's worked at a golf course 20 years, 1,000 times the man. A literal nobody that no one would be friends with, that no one would like. Running a dictatorship, and we have to see this lady and all this other Hollywood scum every day kissing his demonic butt. Yes, I hate Hollywood. I hate Stephen Colbert. I hate them all because they hate me, because they're a bunch of jerks and a bunch of trash in that giant submerged iceberg that the tip of it just sticking up. Just 5% of the mass is a mountain of crimes, devil worship, pedophilia, murder. They're just a bunch of inbred, crazy, globalist trash worldwide. The Islamists, the North Korean government, the Hollywood, all just a bunch of people that have been getting away with murder forever. And they look at good, straight, strong, hardworking people of every color and every creed, and they want to deface that. They want you to roll around in the manure with them like they do at Skull and Bones, where a bunch of men get together in a big vat of feces and urine and have sex with each other, and then they get in coffins and ask Lucifer to come into them. That's admitted. What the hell is your problem? Why don't you want to go grill hamburgers with a beautiful vista and go ride around a boat and go wakeboarding or hike a mountain or look at the stars or praise God or, you know, take care of your children. Just be good, because you're evil and good people haven't destroyed you. And so it's our fault. It's my fault. It's my fault this is all happening. It's your fault. And it's not going to keep happening. God help us. You know, Hollywood is a factory of kidnapping children and killing them. Just millions of missing kids in just the West every year. 800,000. Most of them aren't runaways. They're people grabbed by these spiders and drug off. You know why everybody gets so scared of stuff like It the Clown? Pennywise, and it's the number one movie, horror movie ever. Was it $400 million or something I saw the other day? You see, that's why this show sounds so whacked out, because truth is so much stranger than fiction. Don't believe me. Just search the history of clowns, and that in ancient Greece, Babylon, and Egypt, child sacrifice cults would put on red outfits for blood and red manes for blood and white faces. Because they knew they had to tell the villagers, you bring your kids. That's the ultimate act of submission, is to bring your 2-, 3-, 4-year-old right when you love them the most. Right when they're the funniest, the sweetest, everything, and they're going to torture them in front of all you. Then they're going to grill them on a big hot metal plate in front of the idol with a fire under it, or they slice them up and the priests drink the blood, and then a lot of times make you drink it. The Aztecs did it, everybody else did. And in almost all cultures, the people doing it, instead of wearing an executioner mask, because sometimes somebody might still get mad in the village who still has their instincts and kill you. So you don't wear a mask, a hood, like an executioner. You wear a clown mask with a big red mouth that you're scary and big red hair for blood. And you wear, in fact, let's show the satanic ceremony that's on Drudge right now. Illuminati satanic themed fashion show held at London. Look what they're all wearing, because that's actual satanic regalia that's 5,000 years old. Notice it's clown outfits. 5,000 years old. 5,000 years old. You want to know why you don't like Pennywise? Because boys and girls, just like I told you last week, Satanists dress up like clowns. And what are you seeing on your screen? You're seeing real satanic regalia. But they used a bunch of sucked, dried, brain-damaged, brainwashed youth to strut around doing it in a Catholic church. And we're going to go to your calls coming up at the bottom of the hour. And Tommy Robinson is a best-selling author, publisher, patriot. He's got two books out. You should get them off his website. One of them is sold out right now. That's Muhammad's Quran. And he also works with Rebel Media. And we appreciate him joining us. And the reason I wanted to get him on was the bombing last week, and we've got him on now, which we now was an Islamicist operation. Muhammad'sQuran.com, that's at Tommy Robinson on Twitter. And we have Pakistan Muslims, this is today, Pakistan Muslims beat and rape Christian boy, police side with the perpetrators, saying, well, it's a Christian, we're allowed to rape you. That's why the globalists like Islam. It's a pedophile operation by the people that actually adhere to it. Islam is also our history. EU finance exhibition, you know, basically in a church, guts it and puts on Islam. But don't worry, the British school to be ready, how trans-friendly it is. Oh, wonderful. Go there immediately. And then I've got here Uber's banned in London because of mass Islamic rape. Using them basically as a spider hole. You think you're calling an Uber, you're really calling a refugee driving one. And then we got a guy that raped 5 little girls, including 1-7, another refugee in New Hampshire. And the media is, of course, very, very happy to cover that up. So Tommy Robinson joins us right now from the what's left of the United Kingdom, from London, Stan, where Sadiq Khan told us twice in the last few years, get used to Islamic terror. Those are actual quotes. We'll probably cue that up again. This is just quite normal acid attacks. BBC tells you how to put makeup on after the daily acid attacks. So, Tommy, the only question is, why are you standing in the way of cultural enrichment? And we now know these new refugees that carried out the bombing last week had been brought in by the government in the last 2 years. When they were housed, they were children at, 21 years of age. So, this is all part of the sickening evil, all part of the ceremony, I guess, of destroying Western culture.
What I can understand is the 21 years old, he's still housed with foster parents. And these foster parents were given an award off of our Queen for housing. And all of these now, when you listen to the things coming out from them, the majority of the children they're now taking in are refugees from Syria, from Iraq, from Eritrea, from these places, but they're not children. As we were at the time, you know, at the time when all these children, these so-called children, there was a big influx of them. We had celebrities, Gary Lineker, Lily Allen, all of them saying that everyone was racist or bigots. Even Piers Morgan were refusing to them. And at that time, I went back and dug out a video we made at that time, which was just to point out, these are not children. These are not children, and they are going to come back and bite us. And that's exactly what's happened. And still now, that's the problem. It's not like we learn anything from these attacks. It's a shame that every time there's an attack, you think we'd be learning, but we don't.
No, instead, your own prime minister and everybody else acted like Trump did it. Because Trump said it was a terror attack. He said it was Islamic. They said that was wrong. Of course it was. And then they said he was bad. Our news over here was just Trump is evil.
Oh, no. That's all our news is. In fact, I just met someone earlier as part of a documentary, and he said exactly the same. As we're sitting, it was all about Trump. And he said Trump called every Mexican a rapist. No, he didn't. And all the things which he said, I said, this is the problem we have with the media or people like you. And I was actually away. I was in Spain as this was happening, as this terrorist attack was happening. And I saw the backlash against Trump. And it's simply, again, for telling the truth. And our mayor, I don't know, man, the only one good bit of positive thing that's come from the last 3 or 4 days is Uber being banned in London, which is, for me, is great.
Let's talk about that, because how much can people take? 10 million people in the last 5 years, 80% military-aged men, according to even the UN, EU, and Interpol. There's so many Islamic attacks now, hammer attacks, acid attacks, knife attacks, including here and in Canada. I mean, I can't even keep track of them all. And just the raping and you're walking your dog. They attack you because the dog's unclean. I mean, these are some really arrogant people.
With regards to Uber, so London's black cab trade is the last predominantly white working class trade in London. It's a 400-year-old historic industry. It's viewed upon as the fifth emergency service. If you're in trouble, you have the London Black Cabs. They will help you. If you're a female on your own, they will save you. They will act as the eyes for the capital city. They are a skilled trade. They've worked for 4 years, and they have their business opportunity.
They have the knowledge, as it's called, very famous, the model of cabs worldwide, so professional, so nice. Now you go to London, it is falling apart. Please continue.
Yeah, that's it. So you have the knowledge, and we have, I believe, 20,000 Black Cabs. Now, overnight, we had 100,000 Uber drivers. Now, anyone can see it. Uber drivers are Somalian, Eritrean, Syrian. They cannot even speak English. You see them so many times going up the wrong way, down one-way streets in London. that's before we get on to the rapes, the crime, the statistics, the violence. We've had the attack that happened outside our Queen's house, outside Buckingham Palace, where a terrorist went and he tried to pull out and kill police officers. That was an Uber driver. We've sent me multiple offences, and terrorist offences are linked to Uber drivers. And that's why what this was an attempt of, which it may be different. You see, Uber may be different in different parts of the world, in different cities. But in London, Uber is simply an Islamic ferry, and it is driven by immigrants who have come here who are disrespectful to our women, disrespectful to our laws, and disrespectful to our country. Obviously not all of them, but on par, that's what we see. Which is why I've been very vocal against Uber.
Well, I was about to say, what the Islamists do is, like, you go to any airport, Somalis are the only ones that run the parking areas, that run the cab areas, and that also run the rental areas. I mean, I've been all over the big areas, Minnesota, D.C., Seattle. It's incredible. And I've asked them, and I looked it up, they have lobbies and guilds that go to the airports and lobby to have the lowest level bid. Then they all get on welfare, undercut everything. I know it's the same in your country. And then they take control. And once they've got control of Uber, say, in London, then they only start hiring other Islamicists. That's how this works. Tommy Robinson's our guest. His Skype just broke out for a moment. He was saying that's exactly how it works. And again, it's all incredibly discriminatory. And it's happening using the West openness. You were saying that's exactly what's happening, Tommy. You're back.
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what's happening. And if you go to Heathrow Airport, and actually what they were doing, I had a conversation. This is what where it really gets to me. I got in a taxi. I had a conversation with a cab driver who told me his life, his daily outgoings, his daily bills, how much he has to earn. Then he told me what happened when Uber got in. His whole marriage has broken down. He went from working 12 hours to having to work 18 hours. He said he sleeps in his car. He's having to do this, but exactly the same. And this is the difference. When he goes home, he has a mortgage, He pays his tax, and he has a family. And they live in one home, one family in one home. The Uber drivers, the comparison, they're on benefits. They share a license amongst many of them. When they get home in one house, there'll be three or four families. They've all come in as refugees. They've all come in as immigrants. It's just not, it's not sustainable for an English man.
What it does is drive down the wages and the culture, the giant sucking sound that Ross Perot talked about.
And you followed individual drivers, and they're sleeping in their cars.
It destroys our ability. And what we was nearly close to doing, you know, anyone from abroad in your countries, you look at London, you see what you see. The iconic things would have been the red phone box. They're gone. The black cabs would have been gone. The black cabs are the last English trade in that capital city. For tourists to come over to our country and get into a taxi and speak to an Englishman, that is the final opportunity they have. Because once that black cab's gone, once they've gone and that trade is disappeared, then all you have is Somalians, Eritreans. There's nothing left of London after that. There's nothing left of London. And that's why I said it's such an important issue. It's such an important
issue. Well, let me tell you my story. And I've been to England many, many times. The last time I was there, it happened twice. I would try to get a cab to the hotel that was very close to the airport. And because I was going all over England, so I wasn't going to stay in London itself. And I was at Heathrow. And they said, sorry, it's £50. And I went, well, I've asked. It's supposed to be like 10 to take me to the Hyatt that is literally a mile away. And I would go down the line, and all the Muslims would laugh at me and say no. And they weren't just doing it to me. I thought maybe they know who I am. They were doing it to other families, people from Spain. They were doing it to people from Japan. Finally, there was one old British guy. He takes me for the £10. I give him like 20. He goes, this country isn't what it is anymore. They do that all day. I got to watch it. And nothing is ever done about it. I report it. Nothing's done. It's illegal. And these were cab drivers. You have to understand, okay, you know, driving the black cabs and also the yellow ones and, you know, the old fashioned looking cars. And it happened to me the next time. I mean, it's crazy. How do they get away with this?
That's it. But, mate, I've watched my whole life in the taxi trade in Luton where there's been actual murders. There's been murders and gang violence amongst the cab trades to control the streets. And it's like what I said, if you control the streets, you control the city, you control the town. And that's what happens. And you see them come in en masse in numbers. As we've grown up in Luton with taxis, if there's ever a problem with a taxi, hundreds of them will come. But this is not the same. And you know what we get told? This is what we've been told. Because with the sexual exploitation, the grooming gangs that we've all seen across the UK, the taxis, the Muslim taxis have been a pivotal part of that to ferry the children around. Now, what our politicians come out and say is the reason for this is opportunism.
And let me stop you there. You were the first to say a decade ago they were grooming girls en masse. Now, mainstream papers say per town, thousands of little girls, some of which end up being killed, many of which are forced into sex slavery by the Muslims, and the police are so corrupt, they will do nothing about it.
That's it. And it sounds so, it's, you know, if you listen to that, it sounds so crazy. That's how it is. 1,400 girls is an estimate. A low estimate. It's actually a lot more than that. That's in one small northern town. Now, they've identified 74 British towns that Muslim gangs have been ferrying these children from one town to the other, all connected. They use taxis as a major way of doing this. Nothing's been done. Nothing's been done all over the years. Now, why? What we keep saying is, because we get told it's because of the opportunity. That's why these Muslim taxi drivers are involved in it. Well, non-Muslim taxi drivers aren't doing it. They're not ferrying. Just today, Alex, just today, another four Muslim men have been found guilty and convicted in the city of Newcastle, where just 3 weeks ago, another 18 men were convicted in that same city. All Muslim men, all from different backgrounds, whether they be Turkish, Kurdish.
Because part of Islam is sex trafficking women and children. It's what their business was before. It's what it was before that area was Muslim. The crossroads there at Mecca are on record to have been a slave trading crossroads to the entire Middle East at that time. It's a fact, and women are lower than low under this culture.
Sex slavery is legit, Muhammad said. I know if you read the life of Muhammad, you'll see it as he walked past one of his own men. He said, have you devoted her yet? Yeah, his other man said, no. He said, give her here. These are stories, and multiple times, if you pick up the Quran, it says multiple times you can take outside of your four wives, take whatever your right arm possesses, the arm of the sword. You can take non-Muslim women as sexual slaves outside your four wives.
That's right. You are seen as animals by the Muslims, and they teach them in their madrasas to tell everybody they're friendly, everything's great, and then you are openly seen as an animal to be fed on because you're in the house of war, you're not in the house of Islam. But of course they can't stop it once they have total control. They just keep killing each other because everything's the house of war, because it is a giant army of pedophiles.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Support good oral health with our one-of-a-kind Super Blue fluoride-free products. InfoWars Life brings you a revolutionary toothpaste blend with iodine and nano silver designed to deliver a powerful cream. Enjoy a minty fresh flavor made with peppermint oil or try our bubblegum flavor. Pair this groundbreaking toothpaste with the Super Blue fluoride-free mouthwash and supercharge your oral health. Our amazing mouthwash features natural oils and ancient ingredients used since Aboriginal and Biblical times. Instead of containing fluoride, our Super Blue line is loaded with the good halogen iodine and an array of other beneficial compounds that have been hand-selected for their oral health benefits. Super Blue fluoride-free mouthwash and toothpaste are the first and only to contain all of these natural ingredients: xylitol, nano silver, and iodine. Notice the difference with our Super Blue fluoride-free products. Refresh your breath and invigorate your oral health routine at InfoWarsStore.com. That's InfoWarsStore.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Do you have any of these symptoms? Night cramps in the hands and feet. Your arms and legs often go to sleep. On short walks, do your legs get aches and pains? Is your memory worse than it used to be? Ankles that swell late in the day? Has your blood pressure increased lately? If you answered yes to even one of these questions, you may have early warning signs of arterial blockages. Your body is saying that it is time to take Extendivite. These are not the normal signs of aging. They are the warning signs that accompany blocked arteries. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Waging War on Corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
They call us walking corpses. I don't want to be in your Islamic hell. Ain't no mystery.
Ain't no mystery.
Why I'm in misery. So back in the early 1970s, they had arrested Lynn Danzig for wearing makeup, going to one of his shows in London, because he was a punk rocker. They want to lock us up, put us in their pretty pens. But now, London isn't a British hell. I think it's a nice city. It's an Islamic hell. And I want to ask Tommy Robinson and then intersperse some of your calls on a bunch of different subjects, because Tommy's a smart guy and can comment on those. What does he think the big end game here is? We know the left's allied with Islam. We know this is happening. We know that most Muslims I know actually don't want to be under Orthodox Islam, and they're in their own bullied, crazy system. So let's be honest. A lot of them actually do just want to go get a degree and have a job and, you know, drink beer and watch football. But they're all henpecked by the men that control it. And then a lot of the imams are not these upstanding guys you hear, just like a lot of the Christians aren't. They are gangster controllers. And then I see Hillary, the previous British government, the French, and others supporting radical Orthodox Islam to take over and overthrow the countries where women go to college, where people want to get rid of the hijab, where they want to be westernized. So I want to ask Tommy Robinson of the Rebel Media, best-selling author of Muhammad's Quran, which I know is sold out right now, and he also wrote a previous book, what is it, Enemy of the State. But Tommy, why, or if you disagree, explain to me, why is the left selling out? Is it just for short-term power? Are the left historically so hate squares? Not that we're really squares. We just want to have a decent life and be honorable. That there's some type of weird cuckolding, or they get off on allying with Islam because they're scared of it, because it won't compromise, and so they think it'll be their friend. Because the more you appease it, most of the Islamists go hit gay bars and liberal rock events, and I mean, the Muslims tend to attack the people that are already bowing down to it.
I'd say it's a mixture. I'd say what we're seeing politically in the UK is the left and the Labour Party understanding the future better than we do. And so, say, for example, in Luton again, if I bring you back to Luton, the demographical change for Luton by 2030, now these are government figures. Now, for those of you who don't know who Luton is my birth town. Luton's 30 miles north of London. It has a population of 200,000 people, 50,000 of which are Muslim. Now, the Labour Party regain power every year through the Muslim vote. That's every year. Now, but the demographical change by 2030, the Pakistani and Bangladeshi community are going to increase by 70 to 77%. Well, our community is going to increase by 1.3 to 1.4. So the Labour Party simply understand fully where the future lies in the town of Luton. Now, if I bring you to Manchester, I've been researching a lot for Manchester because I'm doing a talk.
So it's a purely sociopathic decision. But why did they begin the Islamic invasion? I mean, you have the plan going back, 100 years ago with the Austrian count, who famously had that whole Kalari plan where they wanted to do this. This has been a plan for a while.
Yeah. So I'd say, that's why I say it's a mixture of things. So on the ground in different cities, it's different people, different reasons, regaining power, keeping power, understanding that Islam is probably going to be help them with the future power of towns and cities. With regards to the flooding and the introduction of North Africa into Europe as one big superpower and bringing everyone together in order to have a grey-coloured population, that's a different story, I'd say, to what we're seeing. So that the original reasons for doing it and the original operation of doing it and the influx of people, whether it be this recent refugee crisis, that differs then when you get to the towns and cities. For example, Manchester, which is where the last bombing was, the Islamic community doubled over 10 years. It's currently 100,000 people in that city. So in another 10 years, at the same rate, it will be 200,000 people. Now, Andy Burnham, who's the mayor of Manchester, the Labour Party mayor of Manchester, who was very vocal after the recent terrorist attack. Now, he works hand in hand, side by side, shares platforms with radical extremist organisations called MEND. One of the imams for MEND talking in a Greater Manchester mosque, he told his congregation, and this is all recorded, he told his congregation, all political parties will work with us because we can swing the vote on 30 seats in Parliament.
So let's explain, because they vote as one cult block, it doesn't matter what the majority even wants. They will be under Islamic rule, which is desperately craved for 1,400 years and is the religious race consciousness of the political movement.
Well, we recently had an election and Labour gained 30 seats. And Andy Burnham and all these people, that's the question that most people ask. Why would they be working with them? Why would they be hand in hand with the radical extremists? Because they will regain power and they will keep power. They will get power. through work. And that's exactly it. They organise. In Luton, we have the Central Council of Mosques. And they have one leader. And that one leader is in charge of 30 mosques. And he sits down and does deals with the council. And this is when we, that's what Americans need to understand, it's the point at which we become completely irrelevant. White English class, white working class, irrelevant. You're irrelevant in the scheme of the democratic process now. Remember that only 30 to 40 people in the UK, 40% of people in the UK now vote. So that's what we see at the level of why now. Why are they doing this in this city? Why is it happening in this city? Why are they giving full Islam full control? Why are they getting everything they want? Because they regain power and they will keep power with them. Now, the original reasons for the flooding, which we've seen, when you look at what's happening in Sweden, I can sit there and cry. When I go through country from country and I hear the stories and read the stories, you probably do it yourself. You drive yourself insane. I read the story daily of what's happening to women and what's happening at the hands of these men, what their men are saying to them. And just think that an invading army is coming to Europe. They're raping their way through it. And the European men are sitting on their backside, sitting watching EastEnders on TV. And it's just to pull your hair out of the cowardice that we've bred. The cowardice that we've bred. And it's like, and everything is siding on their side. Whether it be the media, the politicians, the police, the government. It's all for them. It's all to help facilitate this invasion. Whilst you think you're sitting there pulling your hair out and screaming till you're blue in the face, trying to oppose it or trying to highlight it, and trying to know, the maddest thing is trying to know what we should do to try and stop it. Because we can see it happening, and we can see the change with our own eyes. Anyone can. And okay, it's like I had an interview earlier where the man who was interviewing me was talking about how people were judging all these things on headlines in papers, which were fake news. I said, we don't need headlines. We see it with our own eyes. We know the people affected. We know the girls. We know the mums. We know what's happening. Sorry, I'm getting myself wound up and frustrated by it. I do it every time.
Tommy, continue breaking this down. Is somebody on the front lines who first really raised the alarm?
Continue. I first raised the alarm in 2004. First time. This is all recorded. I organised a demonstration called Ban the Luton Taliban. That's what I called it. And that was because at that time, what I wasn't aware of, after the Beslan massacre, I watched online as local Muslims in my hometown, who I had no idea who they were, local Muslims in my hometown said, an attack like this will be justified on an English school. Now, mark my words, Alex, an attack on one of our schools is coming, and it's coming soon. They are going to attack our schools. Every single school currently in the UK are practicing emergency lockdowns. The children have to hide under the tables. They have to act as though intruders are in the schools. That's what they're practicing now. I thought it was just my kid's school. I thought it was because it was my kid. Until I started speaking to other parents. And I see that these are going on across the whole country. They're getting the children ready because they know they're going to attack a school. We go to the Jewish schools. They've got bomb-proof windows. They've got massive, massive areas around them where they have men walking to protect them. We know that these people are going to attack our kids. We know it. And we know it, and they're doing nothing about it. Nothing about it. The men, the same men, are still walking our streets. They're still living amongst us. And I first saw that in 2004. And that's when I started, and my eyes were open to the Islamic ideology. I started reading and learning about who these people were. And they had a group in my hometown called Al-Mujahideen, Omar Bakri, Abu Hamza. Their base was in my town. And they were promoting, and I was so gobsmacked. As a 21-year-old young English lad, I started looking and asked, who are these men? And how are they able to do this? And the 2004 was the first demonstration where I organised all of our men from football to come out and protest against them. And it was called Ban the Luton Taliban. And in the leaflets, it made it clear, whites and blacks, I've still got copies of these leaflets, whites and blacks are being religiously and racially targeted. Our women are being sexually abused and groomed. These men have come into our communities and they're selling heroin. If we know what shops, I know what shops they use to sell heroin. If I know what shops, why are the police not stopping them? Why are they not stopping what's happening? And every single thing that you go along, every single thing, it's just the level, the two-tier level of policing and the way they allow them, what they're allowing them to do to our town. That was the start for me in 2004, and I've not closed my eyes. It's impossible to close your eyes.
Well, that's the next thing. They called him a hooligan, one football fan. at the London Bridge attack. They called him the Lion of London Bridge. Fought off and fought three guys stabbing him and saved a bunch of people. And the media kind of halfway criticized him for even daring fight. Like, you're supposed to show your neck to the Muslim and say, plunge your knife in here. And then the police always pose with him and the government defends him. Even Theresa May backhandedly attacks Trump. I mean, this is sick, 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 sick behavior. But then if you mildly criticize Islam, as you've been arrested and harassed many times, but now they leave you alone some of the time because they know you won't back down, you have attention, they go to universities where students criticize ISIS and they get in trouble, or people criticize a terror attack and the police come after them like they've done something wrong.
Alex, I'll send you a message. When I hang up from here, I'll send you a message I received today from a 14-year-old school child. A 14-year-old school child who, when they were talking to him about Islam, he pointed out to them in school that it's dangerous for our country. The teacher had a go at him. They then began speaking about the burqa, at which point he said, it's a threat and it should be banned. He was sent out of class, kicked out of his school class.
Is this your son?
No, this isn't my son. This is a 14-year-old school child who's contacting me today. I've received messages from another school child. Many of them are school children, because what's happening in our education system, you're not allowed an opinion. You're not allowed to tell the truth.
Well, no, but I've been reading where they even take them to mosque. They make them go to mosque.
Every single child goes to the mosque. Every single child goes to the mosque. Now, and it would take me, this is what winds me up. You give me the name of the mosque that they're taking them to, and give me 10 minutes. And in 10 minutes, I will find you hatred. I will find you extremism. I will find you past speakers who are bigots, who are fascists. The sheer fact that you're bringing our children to these places, the sheer fact that you're doing that, and that we're supposed to just... And you know when some parents say they don't want their children to go, they have to sit outside the office, like they've done something wrong, like they're being punished. And that's the problem even in the education system currently now. I had one child messaging me who was then suffering from mental health issues because of the targeting he had at school. He said the police, two men in suits, which were police officers, come to see him because he said Islam is a fascist ideology and a violent ideology. Now, that's the truth. You're penalising our children for telling the truth. I've seen this myself. I've seen this with my own children. I've seen what's going on in schools. I've seen what the teachers are pushing.
Tommy, what do we do? I mean, what do we do to stand against this?
It's knowing that is the question. And all I've said is, for years, I've had this even off my wife. You can imagine, my wife, my mum and dad just saying, stop, 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 stop. What can you do? What can you do? And this is where, even my wife's nan, I come home, Muslims were setting fire to poppies. They were burning poppies on Remembrance Day, on our most important day, during a 2-minute silence. And they were screaming, burn, soldiers, burn, British soldiers, burn. And I was arrested that day for trying to prevent them burning those poppies. Now, when I got home, my wife's nan was there with her mum. And they said, you've been arrested again. I said, yes, I have. You expect me to stand there while men burn our most sacred symbol, whilst our old people have to walk down the street and hear terrorists screaming, burn, soldiers, burn, British soldiers, burn. I said, no. And then she said, it's too late. It's too late. And I said, this is where we have to really rise up. Because it's not too late. It's a dangerous time. But realistically, 5 to 10% of our country is Muslim. If everyone had that opinion, that weak opinion, that opinion that it's too late in the 30s, we'd all be German. And we'd all be frog marching doing Hitler salutes. And people didn't have that opinion. You know, people back then would run, they'd kiss their family goodbye. They'd be 14 years old and they'd be lying and pretending they're 16. They'd be pretending they're 16 so they could go out and die and fight for Britain and save our country. And right now, everyone's scared to even pull their curtains back or talk. People are scared to open their mouths. And that's because they've got most people financed up to the hill, mortgaged up to the hill, in a position where if you talk at work, you lose your job, and then you can't provide for your family, which I'd say has purposely been done as well. So they've got a populace that can be controlled through fear and intimidation, starting at the top. As soon as you express your free speech, they come banging down on you and beat you down. And this is time and time again, you see people... In every industry in the UK who are losing their jobs, being penalised and being taken in for simply telling the truth about Islam. Now, I remember going to East Germany last year and meeting men from East Germany who were protesting these issues. And they said, We've seen this before. I said, what do you mean? He said, this is communism reinvented. We've seen it. You can't talk about it. Shh. You lose your job. You can't speak about it. He said, what we're seeing now with the way that these older men, he goes, we lived through this. We lived through this. It's exactly the same. It's just a new enemy. It's a new ideology. It's Islam. And exactly the same. And that's why you see in countries like East Germany, in the Czech Republic, in these countries that know what it's like to fight for your freedom, they fully understand what's happening. And they're fully out on the streets. Their prime ministers, whether it be the president of Czech Republic, whether it be their politicians in Hungary, whether it be people who have experienced this oppression on your freedom, they know what it's like. You go to West Germany. West Germany compared to East Germany, they're all embracing it and sucking it up. They think it's something to be celebrated. They have no idea. We have no idea. In our generation growing up, we think that this is how life is. We think that life's perfect and it's easy and there's no war and Britain and the things that are happening around the world won't happen in Britain. But they are happening. We've seen them happening. 4 terrorist attacks in the last 4 months. They're going to happen. And Islam will do exactly the same to our country as it's done to every other country it's ever gone
to. All right, Tommy Robinson, stay there. We're going to come back and take calls on a bunch of different issues. But the reason I raise all this is there's the entitlement by the Islamists. And now that their numbers are high enough, they know they've compromised our governments. They are very arrogant in major publications that they're going to conquer us. They say your women belong to us. And now the police in most areas treat them like they are godlike royalty. So I want to ask, why are the Islamists so arrogant? Is that all? Just what is it? And we'll discuss it all.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
With nearly 70 years of history engineering bunkers, today, Atlas Survival Shelters is still the authority. Atlas offers 18 different choices, from commercial tornado shelters to underground nuclear fallout shelters, starting at just $99.99, with 100% financing available. Comfortable interiors and state-of-the-art air filtration systems. Atlas Survival Shelters are the most popular private survival shelters in the world. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER now or visit AtlasSurvivalShelters.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
KD Armor has been on a mission to manufacture the most comfortable body armor on the market, and we've succeeded. With the release of our CQB technology, we now offer the most comfortable, concealable rifle threat body armor available. Things may look good now, but what if you need added protection? Get your very own concealable rifle threat armor and active shooter kits for $129.90 delivered. Check out the promotion sales tab at KDArmor.com, CADIArmor.com.
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter pack, light wet wood, can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils water in under 3 minutes. Temps up to 1,500 degrees. Free shipping on anything. Go to InstaFire.com/radio specials and get yours today. InstaFire. Fire in an instant. InstaFire.com/radio specials.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Johnson is our guest. We have a very informative guest, the owner of a wonderful radio station up in Chicago, Matt Dubiel, that carries our show. He's going to be hosting the fourth hour. I know I should go to these calls, Jeremy and Angie and Ryan and Dan and Nick. We're talking to Tommy Robinson, and there's all these other subjects there. But if you want to know what we're facing as a culture and a society, just look at what the government's doing with Orthodox radical Islam. And it tells you. And we really are under assault. And our elites are allied with it. They didn't go into the Middle East to defeat it. They went in the Middle East to knock out the guys that weren't bad, to put the bad guys in charge. And that's now declassified. Obama and Hillary did help create ISIS. The Democrats are trying to block Trump crushing ISIS. So that's why Hollywood hates Russia, because they're fighting Islam. Tommy, your take on Russia and all the demonization of Russia and the fact that they've gone back to being Christian and are fighting for their survival as well in Eastern Europe, you know, not committing suicide. That may be the only areas left in the West is what used to be the pure West, politically and Christian-wise, until it got overrun by Islam dozens of times. That's why they have the ancestral memory of being overrun. Now, you've just been to Europe. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, if you look at Eastern Europe, it'd be Hungary, Poland, Czech Republic, which I can see now the EU will now attempt to destabilize those countries and destabilize their governments. That's what I believe they will do, because they are the last defense. They are actually speaking for their people. Putin is speaking for his people. And when you see what the Czech Republic, what Poland, what Hungary are saying, the reason they're so honest is because they don't have millions of Muslims in their country that will blow things up and go all sort of shit and crazy as soon as sanctions said. Whereas in our countries, you know, in Britain, if we didn't have 4 million Muslims, our leaders would be talking very differently about Islam. They would be. But once we're infected and it's in our country, which it is, and it's so powerful in our country, and it's so dangerous in our country, all of our leaders bend over backwards. And that's what we're seeing. So I look, and I think the rest of us in Europe need to look to Eastern Europe. We look to them for guidance and help in the problems that we're going to face. And you're right, again, about all this demonization about Putin. I don't understand it. I don't understand it in the sense that he's not a coward and he's a man. And that's what seems to be the problem. And I know, like, even one of Putin's top representatives, when they were talking about the problems in France, he said, well, if your police were used to dealing with real things instead of just having LGBT rights, which, look, I know there's problems in Russia as well, but the reality is we as Western Europe have become so weak and pathetic. So weak and pathetic. When you look to Russia, you see real men. When I look to Hungary, I see real men. When I look to Poland, I see real men. That's what I see. And that's why I'm frustrated at the average man that was created in the West. We've become so weak.
So, in your gut, are they going to win? I mean, will the West just commit suicide?
The West is in the process of committing suicide. I see. This is the problem. This is where it gets so... There is no peaceful solution to this. There is no way of sorting this problem out without utter chaos. Now, there's no way. So, it can't be sorted. But at some point, we will have to have that utter chaos. Now, it's either the government's accept it and try and deal with it now. Now, I think it will happen when Le Pen gets in, or when Wilders gets in, or when one political party gets in that tries to enforce the law. The laws are already there. Tries to enforce the law upon the Islamic community. We will see mass carnage, and that will spread across the whole of Europe. But that day has to happen. It has to come.
Final 30-second comment, Tommy.
Final 30-second comment. America, if you're watching this, please learn from our mistakes. Please learn. You have to look at us. You have to. If I had one thing, I would wish someone would come to my country 20 years ago, and I would wish they told me. I would wish that our government were warned, that our people were warned. This is what's going to happen.
Well, you're a modern Paul Revere. Thank you, Tommy. I'm going to take calls and hand the baton to Matt Dubiel. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com. We'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central.